Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Naked Talk with Alex Okoji. It's all about straight talk with some of the biggest global icons, leaders, entertainers, motivational speakers, authors, life coaches, relationship experts, social advocates, and extraordinary friends as they treat themselves, their experiences, and share their unfiltered thoughts about life issues. I believe in stripping the lies and empowering the mind through the freedom of expression. I'm unapologetic about being open, so I motivate my guests to tell it like it is and help my listeners build a presence of mind while finding their voice. So it's all about the best in authentic conversations with real people about real life experiences. So let's keep it unfiltered, unscripted, uncensored, and uncut. You're welcome to today's episode. On the Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. And yes, my name is Alex, and I'm broadcasting live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. Hey! Hey, people, hi. First of all, I'm very excited to be back here this week. You know, every week I'm so, you know, I'm totally giddy. I'm always excited to get here and be able to have great conversation with my guests and, of course, interact with my listeners. And just bring to you, you know, some of the best and authentic conversations. Don't forget, this is the one place where we keep it real. It's all about expressing yourself. It's all about keeping it open, transparent. We tell it like it is. We don't apologize for being who we are and for empowering people. Yes, remember I always say that expression is a sign of strength, not weakness. And you need not to apologize for who you really are. So welcome to another Friday Radio special, and I'm very excited, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation today on the show with my guest. Yes, we were supposed to have this show 2 weeks ago. You know, we had some technical issues here in the studio as well, and my guest was, you know, so we kind of had to reschedule the show. So I've been counting down the days to this day, and so, yay, we're through, you know. I wish you'd pop it out the champagne because, you know, I've been looking forward to this particular show. But just before we get on, you know, get to the rest of the show, or to the show, first of all, guys, don't forget, we're syndicating all over your internet radio. Yes, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, and we're on TuneIn. So if you miss any of the live shows, don't forget, you can get back into this radio, you know, you can get back and listen to the archive show here on Blog Talk Radio or go over to where, you know, to all the other places where we're syndicating our podcast. You can listen on Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, and don't forget to share. Make sure you share with your friends and leave a review. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think about this. And, you know, this brings me to say, you know, thank you to all of those who've been sending me emails. You've been sending all your emails to thenakedtalk@gmail.com. Thank you so much. You know, I haven't been able to reply all of the emails. I've been so crazy busy, but just wanted to let you know that I get them. I see them. I appreciate all, you know, all the great reviews and, you know, all of the things that you guys had, suggestions and all of that. And I just wanted to let you know that I love you and we get the messages and I'll try to respond as, you know, as much as I can. Yes, but you know what? Let's say hello to our friends at Hevolution Magazine. Hevolution Magazine is all about bringing you the hair side of life. And they're pretty much about giving your hair a voice. And, of course, you can find them at www.evolutionmagazine.com. And, of course, our friends at Tony Kuroji's store is all about the best in intellectual property, music, movies, books, talk about the best in A-class, your entertainment and events. You can find them at www.tonyokuroji.com. And, of course, our friends at QKD Entertainment and Events. And yes, it's just a few days to the SYC. They're all about bringing to you, you know, the best in entertainment and events. And the hashtag SYC really is just hashtag share your classes. And of course, it's a ring to get a lot of celebrities, actors, on air personality, musicians, a lot of people who are charitable and who just, you know, want to give back to the society and basically empower the less privileged and those living in the slum areas. And if you have something in your closet that we can, you know, that we can auction and put it out there and raise some funds for, you know, those who need it, then please feel free to just share. That's what the SYC is all about. And, you know, it's this October 25th. And, you know, we're all excited. We're looking forward to it. And it's been organized by QKD Entertainment at Events. They're www.qkdevents.com. And, of course, I mean, this is being hosted by Jagadev Pal Foundation. And Jagadev Pal Foundation is at www.jagadevfoundation.com. Okay, last week on the show, I had such an amazing time, you know, with my guest, Sisiyemi. Sisiyemi is an award-winning lifestyle blogger and vlogger here in Nigeria. And, you know, it was pretty interesting show. We talked about quite a number of things, actually. It was one of those, and I thought I called into this, so that was really crazy. That was, you know, so we weren't expecting that now, were we? But it was nice. We had a great conversation. We talked about her career and a lot of things that she did empower us, you know, with some great talk. So, well, this week on Friday Radio Special today, we talk about making a better life, right? with my guest, Rachel Ruffey. And every day people are struggling with how to make a better life for themselves. And no one knows it better than this multiple best-selling author who has made a formidable name for herself and has been featured in several magazines, including Entrepreneur, Women's World, Huffington Post, CNN, Fox News. You know, since she began internet marketing in 2006, she's developed over quite, you know, a number of products and authored a couple of books. I'm not going to say it because I don't want to, you know, I just kind of don't want you to throw all of that. We want to talk about this because I'm curious about a lot of things. And when I first stumbled on her, I thought it was, you know, like I was blown, fully blown. And I can't really wait to get into, you know, conversation with my guest. And my guest is right here. Hi, Rachel, hi.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm glad we're getting to have this conversation now.
First of all, let me just say thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking out the time to join us live on The Naked Talk. You're welcome to The Naked Talk with Alex McCurdy, and I'm so excited to have you here.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking.
You know, first of all, so many things come to mind. I'm totally like, you know, first of all, when I first stumbled on your profile, like I stumbled on you, I've been to your website, I've seen a couple of your webinars, and listened to a couple of your podcasts, and there's just a lot of, you know, you're sharing quite a bit of content, you know. And I was blown by a number of things, but I'm not going to say anything about that now. First of all, because I kind of want to get a little bit into your own world. I mean, for the sake of those who are listening, who for some reason haven't come across your work, or who are coming across your work for the first time, or coming across you for the first time, especially here in Africa. Who would you say Rachel Roffey is? How would you describe yourself?
It's always so hard to answer that because there's so many different entry points that I guess people can find me at. But I guess most people know me through either my podcast. I have a podcast that's about kind of personal development and business stuff. It's called A Better Life, so it fits in perfectly with what you're saying about A Better Life. And then I have a couple books, and then I teach marketing. So a lot of people, I've taught outsourcing and how to do professional copywriting and just general, like, marketing and being able to have a business for yourself online. I'm really big on having a life of freedom and travel and just enjoying life. So I try to structure my life around how I can make money around that and then teach that to other people.
Okay. You know, you said something, you know, you structured your life to how you can make money. Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're creating a lot of content, so you're pretty much a content creator. But I know a little bit about, you know, I've heard a little bit about your story. But I need to ask you this. You were once a sales retailer at Walmart, right, if I'm correct?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time, that last part? I was once what?
I was trying to get a little bit of your story. I mean, starting from the beginning, how did you start? Because, I mean, you have, like, you've authored a number of books. And when I first stumbled on that, I was like, oh, she has over 40 books. I'm like, how the hell does anyone have over 40 books? Like, that's crazy. That doesn't even make any sense, right? So I'm asking, how did you start building this life for yourself? You know, what was the journey? How did you start?
Well, the very beginning was back in 2006. I've been full-time marketing since June 2006 now. And the beginning was when I actually found one of these, like, ads on Craigslist, the spammy ones. It's like, make $1 million in your underwear while you're sleeping. It'll be great. You know, pay $50 for this report. And it was such a long time ago, and there wasn't as much spam then. And so I bought the report, and basically the report just said, like, it introduced us to what affiliate marketing was, and it said, basically, if you do affiliate marketing, you can promote things, get a commission, and so why not start with this book? So, like, promote this book, you'll get 50% commission, and so I did. Like, it's not something that I'm proud of now. It's not something I would ever do now, but at the time, I was just promoting it, and I killed it. Like, in the very beginning, for months, I was making $500 to $800 a day. And so it just made me learn, like, wow, there is opportunity online. I can quit my job because I've been working in retail. And so that was it. Like, I quit my job a couple of months after, and I've been doing this since.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this basically set up for – I mean, you know, it's funny because – especially for those of us who are here, and, you know, I see, like, some of these things, and I don't feel like people can actually make money from them. Like, you ask yourself, how do affiliates work, you know? But I see that you're part of quite a number of affiliate programs, and you've got, like, you know, this sort of, you know, project. But we'll talk about that, you know, some more. Let me ask you, you write, and you sold quite a number of books. Like, that was very interesting for me. How does anyone write as many Kindle books as you have written?
So I'll certainly answer that, but I just want to clarify, just to be totally transparent, like, a lot of the books are under my name, but I've either outsourced the content, so maybe I've hired a ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. I also have a lot of books where I'll get other people to contribute content, and so they're all my books, but I didn't, like, physically write, you know, 50 books, just to let you know.
Okay.
But then how about the other books? I mean, I think one of the easiest ways to get books written really quickly is to go through and just outline, like, what you want in the book. And I can give you my outline process if you want. I'll have to give that to you if you think it would benefit everybody. But then basically from there, after I come up with an outline, then I'll just voice record everything that I want the book to say, which saves so much time, and then I'll just get that transcribed, and then I'll clean it up from there. So there's no dealing with, like, the empty pages or anything like that. It's just most of the content's there, now I just need to clean it. And I'm saying this, like, as a writer, as somebody who adores writing so much, I just think in terms of efficiency, that's the fastest way to get stuff out there and actually make it happen.
You know, I've never really thought about, I mean, I did pick that somewhere, but I never really paid so much attention to it until you're saying that right now. Because, you know, I just released my first book. And I know how hard that was, you know, just trying to find the time to write that book, you know, in the midst of all the other crazy things I have to do, you know, filming, radio, and all of that. So I know how hard it is, but basically the procedure, you know, that you, you know, the strategy that you're using, I think that's probably more effective. I mean, if you can record, you know, all the things that you want the book to say and then structure it that way, that kind of makes a lot of sense. Okay, but again, let's talk about outsourcing because, you know, that's not something that, again, people here in Africa think about. I mean, you do, these books are under your name, but, of course, some of the ideas came from you, and then you outsource them to other people to sort of, do the technical part of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So how did I do it? I mean, I have...
So,
okay.
No, I'm trying to understand how that works. So, I mean, do they get it? I mean, they get paid to write. Do they get a commission in terms of royalty for the sales of the books, or they just paid to, you know, get the technicalities done and, you know, that's it, and it's still, you know, your product. I'm just trying to find out, I mean, for the sake of those who might be interested in wanting to, you know, who probably have ideas, you know. For example, I've got loads of ideas for so many books, but I can't imagine myself having to, you know, I know what time it would take for me to sit down and write all of these ideas out and create all these number of books. So for someone who might be, you know, who might love the strategy or, you know, just like the idea of really outsourcing that to, how does it work really? You know, what are the benefits? Are there any benefits beyond time saving?
Oh, there's a zillion benefits, and actually I'm not on any deals with anybody where they get royalties at all. That's not because, like, I'm trying to lowball. Like, people don't even ask for royalties most of the time. So there's a couple different ways, because I have so many books. Like, there's so many different ways that I've done it. One thing that people, like, really like a strategy is sometimes I'll go into a niche and I'll ask people to contribute content for a book. And honestly, like, a lot of people are happy to contribute content just because they would love to say that they're part of a book. Like, they don't care about getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I even had a book, I didn't think it was a big deal at all. I casually mentioned it on Facebook, and I remember my mom read it, and she just refused to talk to me for, like, a couple of days. She was so mad. She's like, how could you have a book, and you don't even tell me about it? Like, people think having a book is such a big deal. And so it's the same thing with, like, so I might go and I might say, like, I'm going to have a contest. I'll go into some niche. Let's say I'm going into the interior decorating niche. And I'll say, like, give me your best couple pages on what you would do if you had a $1,000 budget and you needed to redecorate, like, these two rooms or whatever. And the best content will be put into a book, and then the winner will get some kind of a prize. And so the way that this works is a whole bunch of people will give their best content because they want to be in the book. They'll do it for free. They'll happily do it. And then, then we have the book, and then they'll go, and because they win a prize if their chapter is voted as the best, not only are they giving me free content, but they're telling all their friends and family to buy the book and vote for their chapter. So it's like such a great way to have a book made, but you have an army of people promoting for you.
Oh, wow. You know, I never really thought about, like, this is, you know, this is so much to learn from you. Because I'm thinking about it, like, that kind of makes a lot of sense, really, because you have all these people working different parts, you know, in the book. And, of course, they kind of want, you know, the one thing that they put so much effort or they've contributed to do well. So, in other words, they have to tell other people to, you know, kind of like, you know, buy the book. Because that makes a lot of sense. All right, Rachel, you know what? How about we let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Just stay there. We'll be back.
Okay.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorji. You're listening to The Naked Talk. It's so uncensored. She keeps it real. She keeps
Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. Have you pre-ordered your own specially autographed copy of The Naked Experience by Alex Okoroji? From timid girl to confident woman. It will make you laugh, it will make you cry, it will make you cuss, but most of all, it will be a great resource for you and your loved ones. Log on to www.alexokoroji.net to reserve your copy and win two VIP tickets to the book tour and match.
Okay, we're back. If you just tune in, you're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okoroji. And yes, you know, just before we went on the commercial break, I was talking to my guest, Rachel Rossi. And, you know, basically we're talking about, I think we talked a bit about her book, you know, what it takes to basically write a good book, you know, and, you know, outsource and just write as many books as she's written, you know, all the number of books that have been, you know, under her name. And we've been having a pretty interesting conversation, and I've been learning quite a lot. If you're just tuning in, don't forget you can join this conversation. As always, it's interactive. If you want to contribute or ask Rachel something, if you want to ask her a question or you want to find out something, don't forget you can call in. The number to call is +1-215-383-3766. It's +1-215-383-3766 if you're calling outside the U.S. If you're calling, you know, within the U.S., then, you know, call us a local number, call 215-383-3766, and of course we'll get you in on the show. And don't forget to use your hand raising effect. Press 1, because I saw a number of people dial in. Press 1 so we know that you want to speak, but you're not just listening, and I'll get you into the conversation. Or you can get in the chat room, you can leave your message in the chat room, and, of course, your messages will be read here on the show. Or tweet at me, just tweet at Alex Okoroji. Or with Skype, you can call in via Skype for free. Just click in, the Skype button on your browser, and, of course, you're connecting to the show. Just before. Hi, Rachel. Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, that was actually perfect.
Hi, Rachel.
Timing. I got kicked off. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Great. I got disconnected for a second, but
yeah,
I came back in perfect
timing. Yeah, that was perfect timing. Okay, let me ask you this. You know, I'm trying to find out a little bit more about, you know, just, I know you have several online products, you know, that are basically earning, you're earning from quite a number of online products. Do you want to tell me? Can you tell us a little bit about it, the different products that you have?
Sure. So, I mean, like you said, I have a bunch of different ones, and usually I'll just learn something and then I'll create a product about it. So I have products on how to write books that like do well online, so the Field and the Kindle course. I have products. I used to have a company where I had like 120 different employees, and so I've learned a lot about outsourcing. So I have products on outsourcing. I have software on different things that kind of make life easier. So, for example, it's kind of a pain to get a book that's formatted correctly onto Kindle because if you don't do it right, it'll look bad on the Kindle and you'll get all kinds of bad reviews. So I have a software for that and a software for making videos that you can retarget. It's just kind of all things that I use to make marketing easier. I'll usually teach other people and help other people with.
And what is the response? I mean, how can you respond to all of these products? Because you have all these different things. How do you keep up with it? How do you keep up with, you know, just monitoring it and managing them? How do you keep up with it?
I guess it depends because there's, like, so many different things. And part of it is I've been doing this for such a long time. But I have a team, too. I mean, outsourcing is really helpful. And then also just being really tight with scheduling and just making sure that I'm working on the most important things are really helpful. So, like, just cutting out what's not going to serve. And I like to, like, even though a lot of people will say, like, how do you get all these different things done? Most of the time, I'm really good at being focused on one thing at a time. For me, like, and I do love doing lots of things, but I think that when you're focusing, like, if you chase two rabbits, both will escape. So usually it's just, like, focus on one until it's done and then move to the next, on and on.
Okay, true. But, you know, there's something that here that totally amazed me. I heard that your first, I read that somewhere, I think it was on your blog. You know, it's funny how you inspired me, because you have this that you share your monthly brags, that you brag about your achievements. And I thought actually, you know, motivated me to want to do the same thing, no matter, you know, inspire my But you, I read somewhere that you actually sold your first website for a certain amount of money, and I need to clarify.
Well, I sold a couple of websites. The first website that I sold was I sold for $50,000. It wasn't the first site I ever created, but it was the first site I sold. That was I ended up selling that and going and living in Rio de Janeiro for a few months after that.
Well, okay, you know what? Because I was doing the math. I mean, in Nigerian money, like when you convert dollars to, so when you sell a website for $50,000, that's about 10 million naira. And I'm thinking, how the hell does anyone sell a website for that amount of money, for even $50,000? Do you understand? That's crazy. So why was it, what was it about that particular site? That, was it the traffic? What is it? Is it the SEO? What was it about it that someone's willing to pay that amount of money to buy the site? You know, I'm just thinking.
Yeah, so basically I sold the site for 2 years earnings. So I guess it was making $25,000 a year, which is what, $1,500 a month? No, $2,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a membership site, and so I had people already enrolled paying me every single month. It was, like, basically I lost 100 pounds. And so I had a membership site teaching people how I was able to lose that weight. And it was a membership because there were, like, different things that they would stay on for, like a forum, and there was health experts and different people. And so anyway, so the retention rate, or like the amount that people actually stayed and kept paying, was pretty high. They were very happy with the service. And so that's really good for, like, when somebody's going and looking at buying a business, they love a membership because that really mitigates a lot of risk, because they have that consistent income coming in. And so, you know, since then, I try to sell other things, too, and I have sold many different things, but the membership sites are usually the easiest to sell.
Really? Wow. Okay. You know what, Rachel? How about we take a quick musical break? We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. If you're listening, this one is from Romeo Crow. Romeo Crow was a guest on the show in July, I think. This is Leading Like You Do by Romeo. We'll be back.
I've been worrying about you. You don't seem to face the truth. And it just seems to come through. You
You do by British singer, songwriter Romeo Crowell. And yeah, Romeo, yeah, he was a guest on this show. Yeah, he was here in July, I think. Just before we went on that musical break, you know, I was talking to my guest, Rachel Ruffey, and she's been sharing quite a bit of, you know, very informative, you know, she's really the empowering and also quite a number of things. I personally do know, you know, I'm learning quite a bit. So, and if you're just tuning in, don't forget, you can join this conversation. And if you know anyone who's missing this, you know, get their butt right here on the show right now. Hi, Rachel.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, excited to be here. Yeah. This has been fun. There's a little delay, I get it.
What did you say?
I was going to say, I thought there was a little bit of a delay, so I was just kept talking, minimize the awkwardness.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yes, cool. Yes, there's always that little bit of delay. Okay, you know, I'm going to ask you this. What inspires you? Because, you know, for you to be a content creator, you know, especially with someone who's, you know, there's some sort of purpose for why you do the things that you do. I mean, I chose, you know, today's subject or title of the show after you, basically, or after what you're doing. And I noticed that everything that you're doing is kind of geared towards trying to make other people's lives better. So I would ask, what is it that inspires, what drives you to want to continuously create all of this thing, you know, all of the content or the product that you make and just be, you know, you're so versed in online marketing, because that's something that I'm trying to understand. You know, I just started creating stuff very recently, but you know, so when I find people like you who've been doing this for a while and who kind of really understand it, I'm totally blown. So what is it that really inspires you to do what you're doing?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I think, I mean, there's really probably a bunch of different answers. I think part of it is I do just genuinely love helping people. Like, I really, it just makes me really, really happy. I get, even if it's just like paying for somebody's coffee behind me or something in the drive-thru, like, it's just so much, I get so much joy from it. So it's kind of really selfish. So there's that. And, you know, I think there's, it's just like I freedom is such an important value to me, and being able to be free and live a life where I can just do whatever I want. Like, the thing that I always think about is back when I was working for people and I had to ask if I could have days off. It's just like so crazy to me now to have to ask somebody if I can have a day off when it's my life. Like, no,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think about that.
Yeah.
I think about how other people that are still doing that, and you know, for some people, like, they're totally fine with it, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Like, some people
mm-hmm.
really prefer having that stability every single day. That's just not my personality. And so I am because of that, like, I want to support other people who do want to be able to work for themselves, and so that's really driving to me too. Like, that helps a lot. So I guess, yeah, all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, it's just really fun to create. I love writing, I love teaching. It's just good times.
Mm. Yeah, I can imagine. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, for writing, for example. When did you first experimenting with writing? You know, what was the first time? Do you remember the first thing you ever wrote? What was your first experiment? You know, experimentation with writing.
So, do you mean like when I was little, or do you mean as far as putting out Kindle books?
You know, we can go all the way back, and then we can come, you know, just to when you started making money. But you know, let's talk about. Do you remember the first thing you ever wrote, like?
The first thing I ever wrote, probably like a letter begging my parents to get me out of being grounded, you know. probably it. Oh, man. We found all these letters from when I was little. They would send me to sleepaway camps, and I found all these letters being like, everything here is terrible. How could you put me in this prison? I need to come. I was such a dramatic little kid. Like, I was being tortured every day. and then the letters trying to get out of the room. I was going to be a lawyer when I was little. Probably could have done well. So that was when I was little. And then with later on, one of the first products that I created was, there was this challenge. I don't know if they still do it, but it was the 30-day, I think it's called the 30-day challenge. And basically, it was teaching people for free how they could make their first dollar online. And so I went through there, and they were just teaching to go into small little niche sites and create products and then see if you can make money. And so my very first product was on baby shower favors. And I was just selling a guide on, like, fun baby shower favors you can make. But then the story it was random, but it worked. And then actually the story with how I got into Kindle was funny because that was actually a total accident. That was my business partner at the time and I had been talking about how we both started little hobby sites that we hadn't really been working on and we felt like there was so much potential with both of them. And so my little hobby site was meditation, his was in stress, and so we basically decided to have a bet with each other to see who could make more money within 60 days or something with their site. And so I'm like, I can be really, really competitive sometimes. And so I was just throwing everything I could, like spaghetti at the wall, seeing what I could do to make money for my site. Because I was going to like win, A, and then I was also going to get, the winner got a $1,000 gift card from Amazon from the other person, which is a pretty sweet prize. So anyway, I threw up a book on Amazon, wanted to see how it was going to go. The first month, it ended up making $700. And then for many months after that, it was making $3,000 a month. Yeah, like $3,000 a month without doing anything. And this isn't really as easy anymore. This was back in 2010. It's not as easy to just like easily throw up a book and make money like it once was. But like I was so encouraged that I kept going and doing more and more. And so that's how I got into the Kindle thing.
Wow. And I think that you know, just from listening to you, you're such a driven person, and you know, you're very driven. Like you know, you set your goals and you go right after them. You're like, you know, I have to accomplish this and I have to accomplish that. And I find that really interesting. But you know, just when we're talking, you know, when we're talking about, you know, what drives you and what inspires you, and you said, you know, just making people, you know, you kind of pleases you to make people happy, to make people feel better, so to make people better or have a better life. I remember stumbling, you know, I read somewhere that you did try to raise, like, a couple of times you tried to raise money, like, for charity. And I hear that you're pretty good at that, you know, just setting up and raising money for, you know, for a cause. So would you tell me about, you know, this particular way you were able to raise quite a lot of money for a particular cause?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I love charities. I love, like, raising money for things that I believe in and that I just kind of feel like my intuition's pushing me to help with. But I guess one of my favorite stories is a business partner and I, well, we were both in this kind of speaking circuit together. And anyway, we had talked about how we wanted to raise money for schools. And he was from Brazil, so he wanted to do something for a school in Brazil. And it ended up just being really tough to make happen. So what we ended up doing was raise money for these kids in a school in the United States. We ended up raising $50,000 for these kids that were like super,
wow.
This is like a very impoverished area. And so we were able to basically have a backpack full of school supplies for everybody in the school for a couple of years,
aww,
which was awesome. And we got to go in and give out the backpacks, and it was just such a great day. It was such a great time to do it. And the way that we raised the money, and it's like, it's amazing because I think the internet makes things so easy because we raised the money in like less than 10 hours total of work. And this isn't like, I don't say it to brag.
Really?
Like, it's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how much the internet can make things so easy. What we did is because we're both internet marketers, we had other friends that have marketing products. And so we went and we basically got people to donate their products. And so we had an auction webinar kind of style where we got a bunch of people on a webinar, and then we would say, okay, for the next, like, 2 minutes, if you buy X products, we'll get it for a major discount, or it would be like, you know, we have 20 copies of this normally $500 product. You can get it for $100.
Okay.
And anyway, we just did that. The call was like an hour, 2 hours, and it just did so well. And then we were able to make it so that everybody who bought a product got a tax deductible receipt, so it was like they just donated right to the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just it just worked really well.
Oh wow, that's unbelievable. Like I also think that, you know, I'm trying to play that back here and see if that, you know, we're just getting very used to using the internet the way everyone else is using the internet, you know, in the world, and trying to, you know, create products and communicate and network. And so I'm totally, you know, amazed at some of the ideas, you know, at which you try to do a number of things like raising, you know, because for a lot of people are worried about just giving money out to someone, you know, for that. But if they're getting something back for it, then, I mean, that money you're raising is going to a particular cause, and it feels like, you know, they're not really losing anything at all. So that sort of makes a lot of sense. Okay, Rachel, I know that, how about we take another quick musical break? We'll be back. Don't go anywhere, to stay here. This is Like We Do by Peter Kelly. Peter Kelly was a guest on our show last week, four weeks ago,
we just victims of our place and time. Or were we written in the stars? Was your mission to invade my mind? Mine to catch you like a blessing in a jar. The universe has reasons and a plan. Life has lessons to be learned. Sometimes love and loss go hand in hand. Maybe love cannot be found, but must be earned. Love got tough, and I gave up. But I guess I had it coming. My hands fell to my side. You showed up like a bumper cut from my chin and sent me flying.
Tell the
like an uppercut. Caught my chin and sent me flying higher. Hey now, baby, baby.
And that was Like We Do by Peter Kelly. And Peter Kelly was a guest on the show 4 weeks ago, I think. And, yeah, it was, you know, really exciting to have him here on the show. And that's one, you know, that's his newest song, on, you know, in his new album. Yes, Don't Leave Me Alone. And we can't wait. I think the album's coming out this month. Yes, 30th of October, the new album will be out. So, yeah, we can't wait to, you know, hear the Mirabelle. But if you're just tuning in, this is Still the Naked Talk with Alex DeCorsi, and I've been speaking with my guest, Rachel Rossi, and you know, she's been talking to us about, you know, just quite a lot of things here, concerning, you know, online marketing and, you know, what it takes to be, and she's going to tell us what it takes to be successful. I'm an expert at that, but I'm sure she, you know, she'd have some wisdom, you know, in her bag, you know, bag of tricks and all of that to share with us. Hi, Rachel. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Welcome back. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Yeah, I hear you great.
Okay. You know, we've been talking about just all of this great accomplishments that you've been making, and I'll call them accomplishments because I'm sure there are lots of people who would love to, you know, be in your shoes and be able to do some of the things that you're doing. But I know that, you know, we can't make accomplishments without having gone through some obstacles and challenges, you know. And I'd like to ask, what has been like, you know, are there any, what are the challenges that you might have experienced just trying to do what you do?
Oh, man, there's been so many. And I guess the first one that came to mind was actually last year. Facebook deactivated my account and my boyfriend's account. They banned us from Facebook.
Whoa.
Yeah, they basically thought that my boyfriend... Yeah, it was really traumatic, actually, because we were moving to a new city. And so the day that we were at the airport, like, we went to the gate, we got our tickets, we're walking to security, my boyfriend opens up his phone, mm-hmm. and he's like, I just got a cease and desist from Facebook. I was like, oh, my gosh. And he's like, you got one too. I'm like, what? So we pull over to the side. We check our emails. And so this is like the day we're moving to this new city. And all our friends, like, we've communicated with so many people on Facebook. So not even just for business, but, like, I had a bunch of people who were introduced to me as potential friends that I could make once I was in Vegas because I didn't really know anybody there. I lost all of that. I felt like, because so many people are on Facebook all the time, I felt like I was, like, banished from the tribe almost. Like, it was, I felt like such a bad person. And I wasn't even, like, they thought that my boyfriend owned a tool that he didn't own. So, but it was, like, it ended up being this whole big thing where it was, like, 6 months of back and forth. My boyfriend was actually about to launch a course that had to do with Facebook.
Okay.
And the last time he had launched it, like, he did really, really well. It was a 7-figure launch. And he had been planning on doing that in 2 weeks. He had to cancel the launch. I mean, so it was a lot of money. Then, like, 6 figures. And, like, and I don't mean to, like, keep dropping numbers or whatever, but just, like, in lawyer fees and canceled launches and settlement fees, like, just craziness. And
oh,
it really
God.
Did. Like, that was... Yeah, and that was my biggest source of traffic for a while, too. And I was about to put out this event, which was so important to me. I had been dreaming of it for such a long time. And Facebook has such incredible demographic targeting with their Facebook ads platform. And so I tried, like, all other types of things, all other ways to advertise, because I, even though I have an email list, it was a one day event, and so my list was international. So like it wouldn't really make sense. I needed specific like ages, women in New York City. So it didn't work. I tried advertising and all these other different things. Nothing worked. I had to cancel the event. It was so demoralizing to me, just so bad.
I had all these amazing sponsors
lined up, and I had to cancel on all of them. Oh, gosh. So that's definitely one of the biggest challenges.
Oh, wow. But, you know, I mean, somehow you were able to get over it. And I can imagine because, you know, even just having to cancel, you know, a show, and then imagine what you've talked about it, you've shared, you know, people looking forward to it, and then, you know, you have to cancel on people. That can be really demoralizing. But, you know, again, that's the thing about, you know, winners and, you know, people who achieve us. We always have to get through obstacles and challenges to become who we are. But I need to ask you something. I also know that you lost quite a lot of weight. I know for women, you know, that's a struggle, having to, you know, deal with, you know, their physical fitness and their body and their body image and all of that. And I know I would know this because, you know, I've had a child and I know how I had to struggle going back and forth. I still struggle, you know, sometimes I'm cheating, other times I'm trying to figure out where I stand. But, you know, just thinking that you lost quite a lot of weight, I mean, how were you able to achieve that? Because I'm not just looking at the, you know, the physical things or the obvious things in terms of looking dieting, but I'm sure that must come from a lot of willpower. I mean, you wanted to, what was it, why did you want to drop so much weight? What was it that you had to do? I still see that sometimes you mention on your blog when you walk a couple of miles or when you do something, you know, you achieve some goal or some feat when it comes to your fitness level or what it is. What happened? Why did you want to lose so much weight? How were you able to lose so much weight?
Yeah, so how I was able to lose the weight, and I should say the caveat is, so I lost the weight, I kept it off for several years, and then I ended up getting this hormone thing, it's called polycystic ovarian syndrome, and so basically my hormones are so messed up that I started gaining weight back no matter what. Like I was walking 8 to 10 miles a day and eating beautifully and all this, and I could not lose weight. And talk about demoralizing, when you lose 100 pounds and you're like, oh man, I'm in charge of everything. Anything I put my mind to, I can make happen. And then I'm like starving and exercising and I can't lose any weight. And even like, I know starvation mode and all that. So I'm just putting that caveat out there that sometimes there are hormone issues and it's really hard to lose weight no matter what your mindset is. Finally, I'm starting to lose weight again. I've been through a zillion different doctors. But how I lost the weight the first time was I was doing something called calorie cycling. And so basically the concept is if you eat a certain amount of calories every single day, even if it's at a deficit, eventually your body gets used to that. And so you plateau and you stop losing weight. But instead, if you, like, let's say you need to eat 1,600 calories a day to be at a deficit to be able to lose weight. Well, instead of eating 1,600 calories every single day, which your body gets used to, instead I would eat 1,600 times 7, so for 7 days in a week. So what's that? 0 to 11,200 calories for the week that gave me. And so I would switch it up every single day. So one day I might eat 2,000 calories, the next day maybe 1,400, the next day 1,800. But my body would always be guessing. But by the end of the week, I was still in deficit, so I would keep losing weight. And so that's how I was able to lose the weight. So it wasn't like it was like crazy. I mean, there were certainly sacrifices, but some days I would have higher calorie days and I would just make up for it the next day. So it wasn't like a super, super restrictive thing. But I think what really helped me with that was just the tracking of the calories every single day. Every time I would eat something, I would write it down. I would get how many calories were on there, and then I would just mark it, and I would know how many calories I could play with for the rest of the day. And if it was a lower calorie day, then I would think, okay, well, what are some things that I can eat that give me kind of a good bang for my buck, right? Like green vegetables. They're very low calorie, but they're really filling too, that kind of thing. But I think, you know, the biggest thing is tracking with that. So tracking is always tracking is often the answer when you want to make things better.
But that's just, you know, you're saying it and it makes a lot of sense, but, you know, that just spells tedious to me. Like, it's, oh my God, this is tedious. Because he has to track everything. How could anyone possibly leave their entire life, you know, just trying to make sure that they can account, you know, this is how much calories I'm taking in today, this is how much I'm burning, and this, I mean, for, like, forever. Like, it's almost, so I could see, you know, people having to go back and forth and struggle with, I struggle, like, I'm not the way that I used to be just before I had my baby. My body's changed, but I'm accepting who I am. You know, I'm accepting. I'm worse than it. I'm not overweight. But I'm not the way that I used to be. So, but I understand that, you know, for a lot of women, especially young women, we're always, you know, conscious about how we look and how people perceive, how just how people see us and all of that. But I admire when I go to your blog and I see your read from you. I like the fact that you're very open. You know, you're very open, very honest about your life and just the things that you're achieving and, you know, your journey, so to speak. But let me ask you this. I know that you host the podcast, A Better Life, and your podcast, you know, the quite a tons, tons of, you know, tons of information. There's a lot. I don't know how many times I've checked out and listened to something that gave me an idea. I remember listening to one of it, you know, something about how you could, 9 different ways to, you could make a product, you could sell, you know, you could make money from a product or something. But let me ask you, I know you've had several people on the show, you talked about a number of things, from online marketing to a number of other things. What would you say is, you know, how would you say the feedback that you get from that podcast in terms of, does it add, is there any, what's the feedback like, you know, what's the feedback like having a podcast like that that's basically encouraging people as regards online marketing and leading a better life? Are there any beyond, I don't know, tell me about it. I have a lot of questions in my head, but so you know, this is unscripted. We don't write questions down, so I'm just, you know, talking to you as a comm. So what does it feel like hosting A Better Life? You know, what's the feedback like?
You know, it's funny you ask that because the first day or the first week or something, I put the podcast up and I got like, oh man, I don't know, 150 reviews or something the first week. And it was like, I don't know. Yeah, and it was like something like 140 positive 5 stars or 4 and 5 stars, and then there were like 10 1 stars. And I remember talking, not even 10, maybe like, I don't know how many there were, but like there were a lot more positives. But I remember just like calling my friends, because the thing is, a podcast is such a vulnerable thing. Like, people are listening to your voice, and this for me was so important because I didn't put this podcast out to make money or anything like that. Like, I put it out just because I wanted to make the world a better place. Like, it really, there was no financial anything with it. I introduced that down the line because I was spending a lot of money on producing this show. I'm like, I need to, you know, make this, like, I need to justify. But so anyway, it was very vulnerable for me. And so I saw the negative reviews, and I just immediately called my friends, like, it was all over again, like a new thing. And I get it. Like, you have haters with anything. But this particular thing was just really tough in the beginning. But it ended up being, like, the next, the next couple of days, those 1 stars weren't there anymore. So I don't know if it's, like, iTunes removing people who are doing, like, 1 stars across the board or something. But anyway, since then, it's been great. I mean, like, it gets pretty good feedback. I mean, I don't really get negative feedback, actually, which is surprising now that I'm saying it. I guess people who don't like it just don't listen. I mean, there's been a couple things on just like sometimes people will say a mic, like there's a the sound quality bandwidth issue or something. But generally, I mean, I think the cool thing about a podcast is you just scroll through. If it looks like it's going to be something that will interest you, like, you listen to that one. If not, you don't listen. And I try to make most of the shows either really short, so it's not like people are investing a ton of time. Like, I don't like to have a lot of fluff. Or I try to do a good job of telling people specifically what they're going to get out of the show, which I think helps. And, like, people ends up happier because I'm not like, you know, the blind, like, listen to this, it'll be great. It's like, no, here's exactly what you'll get. So that's good, I think. But yeah, I mean, I really love it. Like, people say that they're inspired by different things. It's given them different ideas. What I love the most is when people tell me that they've taken some kind of action. Like, I love inspiring for sure. But
yeah.
I really love when there's, like, some tangible something that people did because of it, you know? That's awesome. Mm.
Okay. What would you say is, can you think of, what would you say is the biggest misconception that people have about you? As regards what you're doing, as you know, as regards who you are, or as regards your work, what would you say is the biggest misconception that people in general have about you?
That's an interesting question. That's a good question. I don't know. What's the biggest misconception?
You know,
I guess I don't really know.
Anything, cause, you know, you don't what?
No. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was, you know, I like to ask this because, you know, for every career or for whatever it is that anybody's doing, there are people on the outside who think they have an idea of what's going on the inside. Maybe they have an idea, maybe they feel they have an idea of how much money you're making, or, you know, there's some people who are just, they're counting your, they're keeping records of your, you know, how much they think you possibly could be making, or what they feel that you could possibly be doing, or, you know, I don't know, it could be anything. You know, some people just feel, oh, because, you know, you're now this person who's earning so much, or you're writing all these books, you become arrogant, or you're arrogant, or something, or anything. It could be anything. I don't know. I'm just coming up with ideas. But what could it be? I don't know. It could be anything. For example, people would think just because, I mean, in my line of work, because if you're an actress, you know, there's lots of misconceptions people have about you. So I don't know. I was just thinking, you know, what? Because you're so, you know, you have this, you're so, you know, you have this very sunny personality. You're very positive, very bubbly, very, you know. But I'm sure there are people who still, you know, look at, and that's the way the world is, you know. You put something good out there. Imagine somebody puts a good video out on YouTube and everyone's, you know, giving it a thumbs up and liking it. And then there's still some people who are just going to go there and, you know, just put a, you know, put a thumbs down, you know. There are people who, like you said, you know, some people are going to listen to, you know, podcasts and give it 5 stars. And there's just some very sad people who are just going to go there and give it a 1 star, even though they know that it doesn't deserve it. So, kind of wanted to find out, you know, are there people who feel like people told you something about yourself that you know, were surprised, or, you know, you just found out it's a misconception that people have? That's what I wanted to find out.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, no, totally. There are, like, usually there's not, like, misconceptions across the board. Like, sometimes people will say something like, you know, they don't like a certain something that I do. I had one person, it was really funny. He bought a program, and he didn't get the email receipts from the purchase with his login details and stuff. And he, I guess, he wrote to me. I had an email, actually. He was answered back within the hour. And then he writes back 8 days later with this whole big thing about how, as a fellow podcaster, he's disappointed in me. And I'm obviously like a dog and pony show because I never responded to him. And, like, how could I just take people's money and sleep at night and blah, 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 blah. And then it was like he had gotten the email. He just missed it. And I had the screenshot. You know, so there's things like that a lot where there's, like, crazy projections and just – but I think that probably the biggest, like, overall misconception is probably I think people think that I'm really extroverted, and I'm definitely not. So if you want to say, like, meet me at events, I'm pretty quiet in person unless, like, I really know people. But usually I'm more of the observer.
You see, that's something that you just, because I would think you're, you know, just from talking to you, you sound very, like I said, very sunny, very positive, very hyperactive, chirpy. And so you saying that you're really the quiet kind of person, like if I bumped into you somewhere and you're really just observing, that would definitely be, you know, a bit strange, because I just imagine you in my mind that you'd be, you know, all over the place.
I can be like that for short periods
you know,
of time, but.
Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, you know, just before we wrap this up, I know we've been talking for so long and we need to kind of let you go soon. But just before, you know, we get off the show, let me ask you this. What would you say it takes for someone to make a better life? What would you say, you know, what does it take for, you know, somebody to make a better life for themselves?
I think it's two things. I think the first thing is choice. And when I say choice, it's because, like, I know there's all kinds of crappy things that can happen, and it's so easy for us to, like, be victims by things. But when you decide, like, you choose to be responsible for whatever's happening and just choose, like, demand, like, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have a great life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a conscious decision. And then when crappy things happen, you're looking at things differently. Like, as you know, I just had 2 weeks of vertigo where I was basically bedridden. And I could have made the choice that I was a victim and everything sucks and I'm getting behind and everything. But instead, I was like, this is a really great exercise in letting people take care of me, because usually I don't accept help, you know. So I was like, wow, like, I'm really learning a lot from this. And I just kind of got all the blessings. So I think that's one thing. It's just making the choice and being committed to it. And then in terms of, like, if you want to have a better life and you want to change things in your life, so if you want to quit your job or lose weight or make more friends or whatever, the next big thing is having focused action. And I say focused action because a lot of times people think, well, if I just take action, you know, if I just take action, things will change. But if you just take action, especially because we're in such an instant gratification culture, it's not necessarily going to get something right away where you're going to, you know, and then people get discouraged and they think it's not going to work for me. So when you have focused action, when you know what you want and then you work towards it consistently, that's awesome. That's the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rachel, that makes quite a lot of sense, focus, action, and, you know, choice. But, you know, one last question is, you know, for the road, what would you say is your biggest achievement so far?
I guess there are all kinds of answers that I could give, but the thing that always comes to mind is, I don't mean it in terms of, like, being a bragger. Like, I just mean in terms of, like, I mean, I could give, like, the answer of, like, you know, like the going to school and stuff. it is, but I've been thinking of, like, throwing all these numbers out and stuff, and I don't mean to be like, oh, there's so many achievements. I just meant in terms of, like, the answer that I would give is more of a story than a, like, you know, X award or something. But it's more of a, I got a message from somebody on Facebook a couple of years ago, and he told me this whole story about how basically he had been dating this person for several years, and she ended up, it was like his one and only love. She got killed in a tragic car accident. And he was just so heartbroken, and then he went to anger, and he said, you know what, like, if there is a God, he's evil. And he's like, I was just consciously being evil. Like, I was consciously being really mean. And he said that he just kept reading my Facebook posts, and he just started getting inspired. And then one day he decided to pay the tolls for 3 people behind him on a bridge. And he was just like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just opened him. He was, like, cracked open. And I just remember reading that. I was sitting in my car when I read the message, and I just started crying and crying and crying. I was like, that's what I want to put out into the world. Like, this is, and it was his decision. It wasn't me. But even being, like, a small part of that was just so amazing to me. So that's my proudest, for sure.
Oh, wow. I was expecting something else, but, you know, but I think that it's beautiful when, you know, you can inspire people just by what you do. You know, you can inspire people to open themselves up and just, you know, help other people. And I think that's just amazing. I don't even know if you realize how much, because I'm here all the way in Africa, and then I, you know, stumble on your blog and stumble on your podcast, and I read some of the stuff, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it makes sense, you know. And we're trying to learn a little bit more about online marketing and how that works. I mean, I'm not going to be an online marketer, but I mean, creating content and how that can, you know, basically do well. And you've been very helpful, and I think that a lot of people are motivated by the things that you put out there. So thank you so much, Rachel, for being an absolute fantastic guest on the show and sharing all of this wisdom. I'm sure that a lot of people who've listened in will definitely, you know, benefit you know, from, you know, from the wealth of knowledge that you shared here on the show today.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your great questions and for your kind words. It's been awesome. I really am glad you asked me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And make sure you enjoy. And I'd love for you to come back some other time on the show. You know, maybe when you hit a milestone, or when something new happens. You know, we never know. It'd be nice to have you again on the show some other time.
I'd love to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rachel. Okay, guys, if you just tuning in, that was such an amazing conversation with my guest, Rachel Roffe. And she just talked about a lot of things. And if you know anyone who missed this podcast, don't forget you can, you know, who missed the show, don't forget you can come back and listen to the archive show or catch the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and tune in. We're syndicating all over your internet radio. Guys, there's been quite a lot. I see a lot of people delve into, delve into the show. Even though you guys are calling to ask a question, but I'm sure you're all listening. And there's so much to learn. You can always listen back, and play back, you know, catch up, you know, if you missed something or you know anyone who missed anything in this very interesting conversation. We talked about, you know, making a better life. And Rachel Roffe is a multiple best-selling author. She's the host of A Better Life podcast and, of course, an online marketer, and she's been doing that for so long. She technically knows that. And if you need to catch, you can always go to her website. You can find her at www.rachelroffe.com. And, yes, you can connect with her. She's also on Twitter. She's at Rachel Roffe. You can connect with her on Twitter as well. And, find out and see if you can seek her help. Or find out, she has lots of, I can tell you this for sure, lots of tons of information that can help you build your brand or your content or whatever it is that you're doing online. I know it's helped me, so hey. Well, guys, let's see, next week on the show on Talk Wednesday, we've got great guests coming up next week as well on the Friday radio special as well. And I'm excited. How did I forget to tell you? My new book is out, The Naked Truth. Yes, guys, you guys can catch my book. Make sure you get a copy of my book. You can get my book is on Amazon. You can get a copy of my book, The Naked Truth, Life Stripped. It's all about, it's my weekly thoughts about love, life, sex, relationships, and a lot of other things. You know how I think. I share my thoughts all the time. So, you can get it. You can get it on you can go to my official website at www.alexacurrency.me and click on book. Click on book and get a copy. You can get, the killer version. You can get it on Amazon. Or you can get, the other versions on my website. You can go to iBooks. You can get it on my website. You can find all the stores where you can get the book. And, of course, don't forget to leave your reviews. I want to know what you think about it. It's a self-help. I keep it real as always. I tell it like it is. And it's not crazy taking a lot of things that are happening. And the reviews are great. A lot of people are getting lots of great feedback. So don't forget to let me know what you think. Make sure you get a copy and tell your friends to get a copy as well. It's been an interesting Friday radio special. We're wrapping up the show. And I've had so much great fun talking to you guys. I'm going to play this by Michael Kilbay. Just, we just always do this, but I'm going to play this by Michael Kilbay. This is Mr. Fall from Sky. Mr. Fall from Sky. Okay, so I can't find. So we'll talk again same time, and this is Inside Out.
Strumming nothing. At a loss for words, and this melody won't go nowhere. But you'll be home soon, so this will have to do. And all I wanna say is I love you. You're all I'm thinking about, who I'm talking about when I sing my heart out in your mind. This song you pulled from my chest, it may not be my best, but I just couldn't rest till I turned inside out. places no one's been. I want you to know I got nothing left, nothing left to hide. The love the others left has long since died. You're all I'm thinking about, who I'm talking about when I sing my heart out in your mind.
You're listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorochi.